Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm Gaz, and as always,
we've got
Taylor. Yes. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. What have you been up to this week?
Oh, loads of news, loads of different kinds of news.
Yeah, there has
been so much.
I've got a bit of a list as well. I mean, have you been up to anything other than just checking out the news? What have you been up to, like, on a personal note?
Bit of PUBG.
Bit of PUBG?
Yeah, you've got to play a bit of PUBG.
To be fair, I'm a bit hooked on PUBG as well, too, at the moment.
A bit shit as well.
I am. I've only had one chicken dinner, and I didn't even get the achievement for it, so I'm not really happy with that. Yeah. I mean, but besides that, if we wanted to go game news, I'm not going into game news because it's too vast. And
there is a bit of news actually about gaming at a minute, because their system, Microsoft, is messing up big time.
Oh, is this for the Xbox?
Yeah.
Why? What's the problem with Microsoft? I've not heard anything about this, and I've used
Xbox. Yeah, exactly, but you should be hearing it. But yeah, basically, they're loading screens and stuff like that. And how to log in. People aren't being able to log in.
Oh, right. Okay.
And there's quite a big stir about it as well.
Really? There's a lot of kids who want to play what's it called? Fortnite. So they're all kicking off.
Terrible game.
They're all kicking off because they can't play.
PUBG instead. Get a life.
Well, I tell you what, we've got an absolutely interesting episode today.
Yeah.
I've actually been looking forward to this one because... Yeah, we're called...
So much for this one as well.
I know. Well, we're called Never a Straight Answer. And if you know why, then it's an anagram, isn't it? Is it an anagram or is it...
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah.
Well, we're calling that.
For NASA. Yeah, so Never a Straight Answer. Yeah.
There's some NASA news going on.
And this is going to be the first actual episode where we've talked about aliens, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
And and to be fair, mate, episode 6, how do you think it's going?
Yeah, I think it's going fine. I mean, we had a good one last week.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about
good
that
one
before. Paul, thank you. Do you know what? I keep stuttering his name. Paul, thank you for coming in. It was a bit of an impromptu episode, I've got to say that. But, because we didn't even know we were going to be recording that episode then. Last minute, and just want to say thanks to Paul for joining us.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I think we were on location as well, which was a bit different because obviously we're used to we like our creature comfort. So being out and about, it was a bit of a challenge, not challenge, but different.
A bit different.
But we're actually on location again next week. I think we're in Suffolk. Staffordshire.
I thought it was Chelsea.
Oh, I've no idea. We were somewhere, so we're going to be doing an on-location podcast for next week, and we should have some guests there as well.
Yeah.
So, can't wait for that.
Don't turn up, knowing what we're going to do.
We'll
find something.
We'll just talk anyway.
We usually got something,
haven't we? Right? Yeah, so anything happening in the news?
Like NASA. NASA, there's been a bit of an issue over the last 10 days.
Wait, in what respect?
In respect that one of the pods that actually joined, a Russian pod that actually joined onto
seen this, but I didn't actually see all of it, so tell me about it, because I'm really interested.
Yeah.
I just seen something about a satellite, or some was it...
No,
the,
it was
the,
one
was
of
Was it the space station?
Yeah, basically, the space station had found a hole.
Yes, they found a hole.
Yeah. But now, they're possibly saying at the minute that it could be sabotage, so the astronauts could go home early.
Really?
Possibly, yeah. This is what Russia's coming up with.
Yeah, well, we all have a bit of a skive every now and again, but
they're about to flog it anyway, aren't they? They're waiting for someone to buy it. They don't want to spend their money on it no more. They've got rid of the internet. Go give that to the UN.
Yeah.
So they control that now. Oh, yeah, by the way, Google and Apple are now run by the one and only Chinese government.
You're joking?
No. And well,
to be fair, mate, I'm not joking. If you've seen them videos online about, you know, the iPhone factories.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't
yeah,
look
yeah, yeah.
appealing. I mean, no. I wouldn't want to work there. But going back to the space station thing a minute. Yeah. I mean, like I say, we all like a bit of a scab, but yeah. like. That's a bit far-fetched,
well,
don't you
think? Well, this is it. Well, at first they thought it could have been a tiny meteorite, you know, like a chip or something that's gone through. But,
that sounds more likely,
yeah,
to be fair.
But the problem is, and you can see it as well on the picture, that it looks like someone's drilled through it.
So now they're
saying it's someone trying to get home, really. I think they're missing the birthday or something, or the bird. Summer's going on.
Oh, mate, over there it's a Farage. We're telling you all it's sabotage.
Yeah,
oh, my
so,
God.
Yeah, that's a pretty big hit.
That's pretty mental, to be fair.
If it goes up, fucking hell, what, you know, we need to get some more money and then put it together and go back up again. But well, Japan had
Yeah, I know. Like you say, they were trying to sell it, aren't they? So weren't they going to try and sell it as like a hotel or something out?
No,
you know,
private
company.
So
what are they? They're just going to use it as lab space or research facility or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, I suppose.
Well, yeah. We still need the environment so we can do experiments and. Get the goodness down here.
Well,
get all the good stuff from it.
Who's potentially going to be buying it then?
They haven't actually said.
Who'll get Elon Musk?
But it'd be probably someone like Skunkworks or something.
I'll get Elon Musk to buy it.
Yeah, I'd like to see him move up to that.
Well, he's.
Well, they promised us something else, but it hasn't.
Well,
turned
to
up
be
yet.
Fair, I don't know if anyone's seen that interview with Elon Musk.
Yeah,
you know, if he's going to go out and buy satellite, because he does like to get high,
he lost 15% on his shares.
I know, yeah. Well, to be fair, I caught bits of this interview with Joe Rogan, and
didn't he just have one puff of it and then that was
he
it?
He looked
and
absolutely hammered and then he started going on. He looked like a guy who'd just been smoking all day and he just came out with, like, you know, basically
flying cars, underground tunnel.
Yeah, he was basically saying nothing was good and we all
think he played.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, he probably did, but what was it he said? None of this is real and we all live in a simulation.
There was a massive experiment which the some scientists were doing, and there's a lot questioning about it. But that'll be another episode sometime that we get into, like, Matrix kind of stuff.
Talking about, with the simulation stuff, I mean, basically there's a lot of theories out there and a lot of people who believe this stuff, like, that we live in a computer-generated Matrix.
But there is
the red pill, Neo.
There is certain evidence to state that we are, though. That's the problem.
Well, I think basically it's we perceive light, so, you know, everything's here. We've got solid physical objects.
Yeah,
so
but
we
that's
know
a,
that.
Yeah, everything's made out of the atoms.
Yeah, I mean we're all made of star stuff. What was he called?
Yeah.
Physicist from Manchester, Brian Cox.
Yeah,
that's his kind of opening gambit, isn't it? You know, he says it in that such a calming voice, like, hey, we're all star stuff guys. Well. Here's another thing that I wouldn't mind talking about at a bit more length.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Eye of Africa?
Oh, yes, I've heard little bits of it. Tell the viewers.
I'm not going to claim to know all about it. It's something that's just came up and it's just fascinated
me,
basically.
I've looked into this kind of thing time and again, though.
Now, there's been a lot of stuff going on in, like, the Antarctic, hasn't there, I've seen quite a lot of YouTube videos and things saying that, you know, the lost city of Atlantis could be found maybe in Antarctica.
I don't believe that. I think it's high Brazil.
Do you?
I was talking to someone
today who said it could be in Doggerland. Which was the strip of land between England and Belgium and France.
Yeah.
In that respect, that's another story, but it was the channel, as we know it today, used to be connect us to the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
And
the English channel.
The English channel, yeah. So after, like,
not French, Belgium.
I think with the Ice Age and a lot of the that melting.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening.
It flooded the channel, and but they were that bit of it. Yeah, so I think one of my someone I was talking to today said he believed it could have been there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And but that's it. A lot of people believe that like Atlantis is just underwater somewhere now, and it's not necessarily that. This documentary has come about. I think it's I forgot what the name of the documentary is called now. This isn't like me. It's called In Search of Atlantis. And basically, they've found, after it's been hiding in plain sight basically all of this time in the Sahara Desert. There seems to be a thing what they call the Eye of Africa.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's only been discovered recently, only since Apollo 4. So when they went up in the 60s and they were able to see, 1960s, 1970s, where they were able to see more of an aerial view of the Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
That they seen this this thing, what resembled concentric rings, a formation in the rock, and it's quite a large surface.
Could it have been man-made, don't they? Could it have been made naturally? Yeah.
Well, they suspect it might have been made naturally, but, you know, humanity is always, you know, settled where it was most fertile. So if it was a fertile area, they would have just, and it looked cool as fuck. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's I remember Mesopotamia and some others around the Middle East, some other countries around the Middle East. Scriptures was stating that it wasn't really that far, but everyone reckoned it was going around the Greece area.
Yeah.
But then later on, it went across to the Atlantic. So it was stated, which that's where High Brazil is. It's just off the island. So that's why I say if it's anywhere. Plus, that actual position is in one of the stories that we're going to say tonight. That one of my
interesting. Yeah. So, well, in this case, this documentary basically says that. It's off the coast of the Sahara, well, basic coast of Africa in the Sahara, right? Now, there's an account from Plato.
Are we talking under the desert, or are we talking like
visible through, you know, it's not been covered by sand, it's not under the desert, it's literally there. And this is what I'm going to get at, because basically there was an account of Atlantis from Plato, a written account, and every geographical thing he kind of comes up with in this account matches it perfectly, from the mountain ranges to where its location was. Well, not location, but kind of...
But from if in you there,
yeah,
you?
In location to other landmarks, right? So, now, they say that Atlantis was, you know, taken out by a flood or a cataclysm. So, you can actually see on the aerial photographs and aerial scans and stuff.
But what
the original coastline.
What kind of like cataclysm are we talking? I mean,
well, it looks like it was hit by a tsunami, and there's evidence to show that sort of impact from a large body of water.
That was possible.
Which actually, when it receded, created a lot more land, right? And the accounts of Atlantis was from people who knew about it. They said that they couldn't. The waters were impassable in the Atlantic Ocean, and basically Atlantis was landlocked, and no boats could get through because they described it as a muddy sort of
swampy
kind of thing. Sort of thing that no boat could get through.
Right.
Now think about that. You've got you've got land that used to be submerged under the ocean.
Yeah.
This water's receded.
Yeah.
And it's left a sludgy, wet ground. Big patch. Mud, yeah.
Of mud
muddy,
and water.
Yeah, muddy.
So you've got sinkholes, you've got all that kind of stuff.
Sinking sand, the lot. Basically landlocked.
Yeah.
Right, so basically all of these details that he comes out with in these descriptions of Atlantis all match up to this place. I'm not even joking, if you watch the documentary, you'll agree it is beautiful. And I can only imagine what it was like when it was fertile and all the rest of it. Anyway, I could talk about this for hours, but I'm not going to. I've got a bit more entertainment news, though.
All right, go on then.
Yeah, so, I mean, keeping on the topic of We're on UFO files tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been about time, really, isn't it? So yeah. We've got a fair few instances and cases.
But before you continue, I don't know the word, but actually now they don't use the word UFO.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why? And actually, for a being as well, they've changed it. So if you're saying an alien, you're actually saying an agent. But if you say an extraterrestrial, you're actually saying a being. Yeah, they're changing certain things now.
Am I living in a day and age where I'm being it's un-PC to call an alien an alien?
Well, he's an agent.
He's an agent.
He's an agent.
Man, I'm an agent. I can't believe I'm so racist.
Yeah, you know what I mean? This is what some of these words are coming from, like Hillary Clinton and other people.
Oh, she'd know.
But there are within the government, you would hear that's how it's interpreted. Well, it'd be like legal lease driver. Are you a driver?
Yeah,
or no?
I suppose. But we've talked about like basically how like things, you know, language changes and what like.
Yeah, but these are deliberately changed round.
Yeah, no,
without people knowing, and I fucking hate it. That's
I think
why
I'm
going to
stick with
legal
I'm going to stick with the way I say it. So.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying.
If they're going to come round and tell me,
the interpretation.
Well.
In certain levels.
Well, there's a UFO movie.
Again.
Another one, yeah. There's a UFO movie coming out, and I know that's not PC, but it's starring Gillian Anderson.
Yes, I've heard a little bit about this.
I can't believe what it's just called UFO.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, which is
unidentified flying object.
Yeah, so we're gonna find out all the way through the movie. It's just an unidentified flying object.
Obviously, she's never gonna identify it.
Yeah, well, that's why you have aliens. You're going to have an alien.
I think it was swamp gas, but you know.
Well, yeah.
Well, she still wants to believe. Let's put it that way. She's still on the alien beat, and she would like X-Files and stuff.
Well, yeah, so, that's true.
So she still wants to believe in the aliens.
Yeah. Well, they're not doing no more X-Files now.
Well, I don't blame him, to be honest. I'm glad. Do you know, I had a bit of a thing the other day.
I didn't like the new lot.
Because I was talking to someone about X-Files and I said, do you remember when they got rid of, remember when they got rid of Mulder for a bit and Mulder, and they replaced him with another guy.
He was supposed to have been taken and then he's.
And I was racking my brains and all I could think about was the guy from Terminator.
Yeah, he is.
And
it
was him,
Terminator,
wasn't it?
The metal robot that liquidified.
T-1000, I think you'll find, yeah.
Right, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, what else? There's a show called People of Earth, if you've ever seen it.
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
I kind of liked it, but it's been cancelled. Yeah, right. They've got to season like 2 or 3 and then they're like, they've cancelled it. But they keep cancelling all these shows.
I hate that when they do that.
They keep leaving me on cliffhangers, man. And then they take it away from me. What did I ever do to you?
I remember fucking one of them. What was it? Beyond Summer. It was on BBC Two and he left it right at a clinch and he was like, right, can't wait for the next one. Yeah, cancelling that. What? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Talking of weird things going on, you heard about in California 2 planes?
No.
You haven't heard about this, right? Well, a light aircraft was coming in to land.
Has this been recently?
This has been recently, yeah, in the last week. And when he did, for some reason, they don't know why, he lost altitude fast. Right. They don't know how he's lost altitude. Another one, he's coming in, a little bit bigger plane, and it ended up turning round on its end.
Yeah, I did see this, and they don't know what it is, do they? Yeah. They said like they thought it might have been some sort of magnetic force or something that's pulling them down. Yeah. But yeah, I did catch that. But
well, there is a lot.
Has there been any more cases since, or was it just
isolated to that one day? Yeah. Well, you never know because. You know what they're like these days? They keep it fucking hush-hush.
Yeah,
you know
cause, I mean? Yeah,
it's a case of, this is what we want you to look at, all the misery and all that shit.
Well, this is where we're going today. We were on the UFO files, and that's what basically Project Blue Book did, didn't they? They basically, they came in, they checked if you're...
Well, they were forced to do it under a commission.
They'd basically come in, they'd assess whether your encounter was a legit encounter, yes. Whether you had any kind of credence to it or any sort of...
Yeah, because the first case of it was Barney and I think it was Beverly Hill.
Right.
It was a black guy and a white lady, and they were coming down the road, and basically they
lost
time.
Was this the first Project Blue Book?
Yeah, this was the first. This was the first case of Project Blue Book, and it's actually the first official case of an abduction.
Right. Okay.
Time lock.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here because I've got one last piece of entertainment news. It's there's actually a drama starting called Project Blue Book. Yeah.
Oh, right.
And if that's the first encounter, I'm going to suspect that that might be what the first episode's about.
Yeah,
potentially. Probably. Because this Project Blue Book drama, I think it's on the History Channel, so it's going to be a bit kind of like... I don't know. I'm not sure about History Channel doing...
like,
sort
that.
Of dramatisations of things.
Do you know why you want that? Because, like...
I suppose they're
going to
have the most information about it, I suppose.
Well, I've been watching... I've been looking at this for, like, 20-odd years, if not longer. Delving in certain bits of it. And I have noticed, and there is a few people coming out stating this as well, that... By this time next year, you're going to find that now on UFOs and mysteries are going to be mainstream.
You've said this. Yeah, but you're right at the end of the day. Yeah, but you did. I think you said this in a previous podcast that,
did
you know, and you're right because basically more and more people, what is it they say? Are you woke?
Yeah.
Are you woke?
You're
I'm woke. Are you woke, listeners? Get woke. It's great. It's a great feeling. Well, Project Blue Book on the History Channel chronicles the true top secret UFO files of the United States Air Force and investigates into UFO related whatnot. So yeah, I'm going to check that out and see what that's about and get on it.
So
you were saying about the hills and what? So give me a bit more information about that. What? So it was the first abduction?
Yeah, it's supposed to have been the first case because I can't remember the doctor's name who run it. But he was an avid that this is all like swamp gas and everything like that. It's like this is all bull until the end. And then when the Condon report had finished, basically he turned around and said, you know what? Majority of it, yeah, is bull, which is fair enough because it generally works out to be 1-2% on every case if you work out per year. But if you get them percentages and put it in a courtroom, you've got a wicked case. That's the thing. But the guy who run it, he actually turned around and went, yeah, I do believe there is some kind of encounter.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And you've got the Battle of Los Angeles. It was put in the bleeding front paper.
Yeah.
Which was a true story.
Again, this happened with Roswell. I mean, and again, people go on about Roswell as being one of the kind of biggest UFO incidents. Didn't actually happen in Roswell. Do you know where it happened?
Yeah, it happened on the... someone's ranch, yeah.
Happened in a town called Corona. And the only reason why it was attributed to the Roswell area is because they had a police station.
So it was the only place
he could have reported it. So, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know when, like, UFO mania started?
It started in the night after Roswell.
So, like,
and not only that, the intelligence service started after Roswell.
Project Blue Book. That's why that started.
There was actually years before, and there was spottings and stuff like this, even in the papers back then. 1889, I think, there was a report of a guy turning round, and this ship had landed. He'd talked to him and said, "Why? What are you doing?" And he's gone, "Oh, I'm just going. I'm going over to Texas and that. I'm going over there. I'll be
just
there in a minute.
Just popping off to Texas."
Yeah, basically, and he went off. But that was reported.
Well, here's an interesting case. It's the case of Kenneth Arnold. In North America. Basically, I think he was a pilot. He worked for the Air Force.
Yes, I remember.
And basically, he saw 9 objects, and they basically put it down to natural phenomena.
Swamp gas.
But the thing is, he was an Air Force guy, and this seems to be a pattern with these things. It's like there seems to be a lot of these. I think the cases that kind of hold a bit more weight are these ones where it's like there's a high-ranked colonel or a police officer and people who have got no reason to lie, yeah, and they're basically reporting on the things as they happened. So, you know, and a lot of these stories, they have that connection where there was a person who was like in aeronautics or yeah, a person who was a police officer or a colonel.
Well, it's not even that. You know, people from like Skunk Works, Bill Rich, I think his name is, he was like the CEO of Skunk Works, right? So basically, well, right,
for the listeners at home, what's Skunk Works?
Skunk Works is Lockheed. Lockheed, you know, the manufacturers who manufacture warplanes.
Who did
the stealth fighter, who made the stealth fighter and stealth tanks and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, they're the designers. They're one of the big companies that design them. But they're commonly known as Skunk Works, right, basically.
I'd actually know them as the Burden
Lockheed.
Yeah, yeah, heard them referred to.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. he saw the nine objects in the sky. Yeah. I think basically he was like, he reported it.
Presidents as well.
And then, but this is how Blue Book got its start, because they started getting these reports,
yeah,
and they were like, well, what do we do with these? And they'd go out, they'd investigate the scene, they'd check out, they'd take statements, all the rest of it, and then it became that many that they had to create an organisation for
I
it.
I think they already knew about it. The Project Blue Book was there to just please the Condon report and also to please the people that they were looking into it. But they already knew in the background, or someone knew in the background, because I think it was Eisenhower who had supposedly three meetings with him.
Right, okay.
Supposedly three meetings, yeah. I've got a report on that, on that I got in the 90s, when the internet first started. This report, I was looking out for stuff like this, and basically I went on there, had a look, brought out UFOs and stuff like that, and then put certain things. Actually, I think it was just a combination of keys that got it.
Right.
Got this website up. I'm like, what the fuck's this? And it was all to do with Bob Lazar.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Bob Lazar famously was somebody who worked for Area 51.
Yeah.
And basically came out as a whistleblower, said they were doing all types of experimentation on beings from another planet, as well as reverse engineering alien technology. We actually had quite a big leap in technology within those years. I think, like, you'll all agree, in terms of like communications, fiber optics, the microchip.
Got drastically
small quite quick. Yeah.
And a new element as well, because he was saying that there was an element called UUP.
Yeah,
and
that's
it
right.
Even
it didn't even exist at that time.
And then 20 years later, boom, it's there.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, like, in terms of, like, the UFO files, generally a lot of these come from the Project Blue Book.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've got agencies now called like MUFON.
MUFON. You can go on their website
it's
now.
A private corporation.
It's basically it's run by people who have no sort of government interest on it.
Yeah, they have their own.
They're basically
to find out for the people.
Ufologists and researchers who have got a genuine interest. And basically, if you were to kind of see something in the sky, you got a photo of it, and you didn't know who to send it to, MUFON.
It's a great place to send it.
Yeah, because
they're the biggest one up.
They'll be able to tell you exactly what it is, what type of UFO, whatever.
And they've been trusted for like years, man, you know what I mean? It's nothing to do with any governmental department at all. It's not departmentalised, which means when you separate one team from another so they don't know what's going on. That's what
departmentalisation. So have you got so what's your files?
You are saying my files
this is we've got a fair few here to be fair, so I'm confident it's gonna be a
fun facts. Even facts that I didn't even realise until when I've gone back into it.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because like I'm doing a lot of research at the moment on, well, I'm not going to tell you what it's on just yet, but I'm doing a lot of research on something that I kind of thought I knew a little bit about, right? I've gone into it, and now I'm finding...
You didn't know as much
as I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. Yeah. But that's changed now.
Yeah.
But it's... Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so, there's some wow factors out there.
Yeah. So, yeah, crack on, Taylor.
Yeah, all right, then. You ever heard the British UFO, Roswell?
I've heard, yeah, well, we...
Supposedly.
Well, I've heard that we... Right, obviously, we would... It's like, I think most governments, if, like, you know, if something foreign was to land on their property, they'd claim ownership of it. So I assume England's got a basement somewhere full of all this crap.
Oh, yeah, of course they have. Yeah. But my only problem with this Rendlesham Forest being connected to Roswell.
Right.
What happened in Roswell?
What's it called?
Rendlesham Forest.
Rendlesham Forest?
Yeah.
And that's the British Area 51?
That supposedly, yeah, it's called the Rendlesham Forest Incident, which happened on the 26th and the 28th, 19...
Oh, right, so this is more like the Roswell incident as a location of an incident that's happened. They don't really base themselves there, do they?
I can't see where the connection... The only connection there is there was two bases there, basically.
Oh, right, okay.
Which was Bridgewater and Woodbridge.
Right.
Which in between it was Rendlesham Forest. And they'd seen lights. So they'd been...
So like Foo Fighter lights or like...
Yeah, there was about 9 lights the first night. Now, I don't know... on the 20... Because it's happened on the 26th and the 27th. 28th, sorry. You've only got them 2 days. I think something went on the 27th. I've heard that there has something happened on the 27th.
So what's
there
actually
is nothing
happened?
On the 27th.
So what are the nothing. What's the account of what happened?
Right. What happened is there was a Sergeant John Pedersen, which I'm going to in this. Jim Pedersen.
Jim Pedersen.
Sergeant Jim Pedersen, which I'm going to call him Jim through this, and a Private John Burroughs.
Right. So.
John.
You've got John and Jim.
Yeah, so John and Jim are at an east gate of the USS base at Bridgewater.
Right. Okay, so what are they doing? Are they just doing parade?
They're on guards. Now, there have been reports that there's lights being seen. There's 9 lights being seen in between.
Right, okay.
So these two...
No military operations, training exercises going on, nothing like that,
no,
right?
The only report was, from the southeast, there was a fireball supposedly being seen going down, and there was suspected that it was an airplane.
Right, okay.
So, that they're thinking, crash site, bang, they hit it, this for our lives. So, these two have gone out to the gate to look for this, whatever this light is. And they're seeing this light. So they're walking closer to it, a little bit by bit, seeing what's going on. And right. Like they're reporting in. There's definitely light there. I can't get close to it. It's too bright and all this. So Jim ends up walking straight towards it. Well, John waits on.
Right.
So as...
What was John doing?
John was stood there waiting because he didn't.
So he's basically.
Because he can't Jim, see exactly
was
what
Jim.
Scene.
Jim was the more senior.
He is
senior
the sergeant. Yeah.
He's basically said, "You hang on here.
Yeah,
I'll go and check
in.
It
if
out.
Anything's
right,
wrong,
okay.
Then
you report back to the governor's. Yeah. Right, sensible guy. Okay. Yeah.
So John, Private John, ended up getting pushed over, and he can't remember any of it. And Jim, Sergeant Jim, went into the light. And okay. seen a, he, what he says is a...
So John, who was waiting at the car, was bum-rushed?
Well, no, they were on foot.
Right,
there
okay.
was no car.
Oh, right, so he
they
was
just basically
back.
Told, walk to
right,
the gate.
Okay.
So they walked to the gate, and like Jim said, hang on, I'm going in, and I'm going to check it out. You come in afterwards. So as Jim went in, flash a light, he sees this circular disc, black, like... Sort of like oily but hard,
right?
And like symbols all over. And when he saw the symbols, he thought, "Whoa, it's US."
If he doesn't recognise it, he's obviously going to think it's enemy. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Train like that, these military guys.
Yeah. So he's writing down descriptions stuff of this, all the details, and he sees, and he wants to touch it. So he touches one of the symbols.
Would you touch it? Would you feel confident enough?
Not after what happened to him. No, go on, definitely what happened? Not. Well, basically, he touched it and he'd lost, like, he brought his hand back off. Like, there's nothing happened. Nothing's happened to me, right? Right. So he's gone back out. So as he's gone back out, the craft's gone. John, meanwhile, Private John on the floor, is waking up. And they don't know, like, what's going on.
What's happened, they don't remember anything.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of, like, I remember writing this down and that. So they've gone back to their base, basically. Gone and seen their sergeant.
Right.
Commander. Commander Holt, which his name comes very...
No, this is what I was getting at earlier, though, getting on at earlier, right? You've got these two military men, you've got a private and a sergeant, got absolutely no reason to lie. Yeah. Now, the only reason why I can see is, like, those Soviet... those astronauts on the space station,
yeah.
They wanted to get off early. That's the only thing I can think of. And then even to come out with all this
This wouldn't have come out if he went for Holt. If he went for a Holt report, this would not have come out.
Okay, and there's a report out there called the Holt report.
That was the first piece of evidence that come out that everyone was after. Lieutenant Colonel Holt, and it's called the Holt memo that went to the MOD.
Right, okay.
Because they're not allowed to leave their place with any weapons.
Right.
So they've gone back.
So what did the MOD do? Did they send out an investigation team?
The MOD come up with was
natural phenomena.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, it's nothing. It was a lighthouse because there was a lighthouse 6 miles away.
And they're attributing this bright light that they've seen in forest?
It was going through the forest.
Right.
But people were going out, other troops were going out looking for these objects and seeing these objects. And they were spotting these objects on the floor and they were walking up to him. When they were walking up to him, they'd lift up 6 feet and go back 50 yards.
Right.
And it's like, what the hell?
And these, right, okay. Yeah,
yeah, well, there's loads into this. I mean, there's...
is actually pretty crazy, actually, because I've got another report here. I mean, are you done with... Are you finished?
No,
is there actually a lot more to it?
There's a lot more to it.
Right,
you crack on then, mate,
honestly.
So,
but
basically...
It's just, what I will say, though, is it's... I've got a report here, and there's some striking resemblances. Yeah. There's some very similar stuff going on.
Oh, there's a hell of a lot
and
more.
And these are miles apart. So you carry on, and I'm going to listen out for anything that kind of rings true with this.
Okay, please do, man. So John and Jim have gone back. They've gone and seen Colonel Holt, who's second in command there at that time.
Now, I can only imagine that if you're a sergeant and you've just witnessed something this kind of peculiar, you're going to be like, feel a bit weird going in to see my direct superior telling him,
I potentially
had an experience.
Yeah, but he'd have to report it. He'd have to go down the chain of the command, and then they'd have to send a copy to the MOD, and they'd have to send one to the US Air Force to get their intelligence to see it. Well, actually, the OSI comes in,
which is the
Office of Central Intelligence.
Right, okay.
Central Investigations. So basically, they went in, and they can't remember this.
Right.
By the way, and it was, as far as I'm aware, it was
so they don't even remember reporting it?
No. But I remember Jim remembered going in. John didn't. John might not have gone in for the report, but he can't tell because they ended up having hypnotherapy afterwards, and a lot more things come out of that. So they've done all that report, and they've gone away. So then...
Well, this is what makes it so credible a lot of the time, because
again, they
police were called.
They don't have any reason to come out with anything other than the truth. So if they've had an experience, then
yeah, but
it makes it more believable,
why.
Really.
There's a big reason why they didn't want it coming out.
Right, go
and
for it.
It broke loads of conventions, absolutely loads of it. Right.
Well, I suppose the only other alternative is that you're going to start blaming another country for bringing foreign technology onto your land.
Well, here, I'll tell you what the secret was. Right, the secret was that place held nuclear weapons.
Oh, I see.
And it held the most nuclear weapons within Europe.
So basically they didn't want any media attention.
It went
attention.
Against the convention.
Yeah.
It went against so many conventions
right.
that it would have been deemed illegal.
Right. So any attention brought to the base would have potentially...
Yeah, and that's why there was so much security there.
All right, okay.
Yeah. So then the 27th, there's been no report. Mind you, on the 26th, the police did get called out twice.
Okay.
Once, because there were some animals skittish.
Do you know what? There's always like animal weird behaviour with UFO encounters as well. I mean, they always seem to be like acting strange, or I don't know if that's something to do with magnetic or
sixth
like
sense, isn't it?
I suppose it's sixth sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think every being knows there's something going,
atmosphere. Yeah, it's all about going with your gut feelings what it feels like. So then, the police were called in then, and they also were called in the morning, at 10:30 in the morning, to go and have a look at the area where they'd actually gone. So John and Jim and this officer's gone down there, had a look. They've used a Geiger counter, and it worked out that it was 0.07% higher in the middle of this, like, these two, like, three tripods. Like a triangle, a landing
so
tripod.
So there was actually, like, a landing site.
Marks,
Oh, right, and there was actually marks.
Yeah, actually marks on the ground.
So how are the MOD then turning around and saying it was a lighthouse when there's a...
Because they were dealing with it, the US was.
Right, okay. So who they sent in? The CIA, the
oh no
the Blue Book people.
Well, all this report. Basically,
like, hey, we're equipped to deal with these types of
years
things.
Years later, I believe 1984, I think.
Really, that long ago.
Well, yeah, the police report said there was nothing. It was nothing. Right, the military reports.
Was there any scorch marks in the earth or anything like that?
Radiation, scorch marks. The two lads, Jim and John.
Yeah, Jim and John. Yeah. So
they've had eye problems ever since.
Okay.
Yeah, they've had major radiation poisoning, basically.
Right. Okay.
Jim kept having these like the night happened. He was having these like things in his head. He couldn't go to sleep. He was seeing ones and zeros. Ones and zeros.
Oh right. So sort of binary code. Yeah.
Which binary code was only used in Central Intelligence around that time.
Well,
they weren't out anywhere else.
They say, don't they, it's like everything's ones and zeros. We live in a binary universe. Everything's...
That goes down to the Matrix again.
Don't go there, because honestly, we can get into the world of crazy here. And basically, I think we've got a couple of quite questionable episodes in terms of coming up.
Mostly yours.
Do you know what, right? Some of these topics genuinely infuriate people.
Yeah.
They do, because I'm not being funny, and I'm not even going to tell you. You can have a wild guess at what we're talking about, but, you know, you can't... There's no telling them.
that's what we do.
Yeah, well, we're not telling you. We're just giving you the gist.
We're telling you, go and find it out yourself. don't actually... Listen, this is our like little snippet, so you can go off and get the bigger picture.
Well, I mean, this is all we could find out. Let's say that, you know.
Well, yeah.
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 Well,
so they've checked all this and all that. So the 27th, and we're finding absolutely no reports at all.
Yeah.
But they must have been got something going on, because on the 28th, they ended up the lights again, and this time Colonel Holt went out with John, Private John, and two other people.
Yeah.
Now, when they went there, um, they, they was doing the same thing again, as in walking towards it, and then it'd go up and fuck off back.
Did he let? Did he tell John to wait?
No, actually, John went, was told to go and have a look. He went with another private, but the private fell down.
So yeah, the same thing happened again, but where yeah. John was in the place of the private and yeah. fell down.
Yeah.
And do you think it was some sort of like blast? Do you think it was some sort of like EMP blast from the device that's knocked John over or knocked the other guy over?
No, no, the other
John
guy.
John sounds a bit of a lazy fuck.
Kind of like well, no, because John did fall over. It was the other private. He went towards the light.
Oh, John fell over the first
time. And
then
he come out of the light. Right. And then, like, they didn't know what was going on. And then these lights went.
Ah, I see.
And then that sort of ended all the incident, really.
I do apologise if I do sound a bit sniffly today. I've got a bit of a cold, but crack on regardless. We're no man flu around
here. Yeah, except for there was one report about on the 28th that no one knew about, which was actually from the tower from
And this was there any other reports from anybody else in the area?
Yeah. There was lots of reports of lights and that going around.
Right,
but they didn't realise there was three massive UFOs over their heads.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, right, this is one thing that bugs me now, right? I mean, back then in the 80s, I can appreciate that there wasn't very much...
And they weren't on radar either.
So
none of these were on radar.
So they were able to be invisible to radar,
yeah.
Right? Which actually isn't that impossible, because, I mean, like, we can
stealth.
Do that. We can do
stealth,
right? So if they're that intelligent and advanced that they can get to us, then stands to reason that they've probably got cloaking or stealth or anything
Yeah,
like
well,
that.
There's loads of them on cloaking.
Everyone,
stuff, Mexico,
and before you say it about, you know, oh, Star Trek.
Yeah,
right, mate. Mobile phones were on Star Trek, and everyone's got them.
And
Captain
British
Kirk.
Military have got.
And I'm not a Trekkie either, so you know.
British military have got a cloaking device for a soldier.
Yeah, I've actually seen videos, but it's like again, it's sometimes you look at these videos and I think how genuine are they? Because there's not multiple instances. There's only
You're
ever
not
like
let
one
too
or two.
Much out, are they, really?
But yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Comes under, I suppose, national security.
So what was the... So, they're looking at the so, let
so
me get this right.
All this evidence.
They've got all this evidence. They've got reports from outside
and
witnesses. So they actually filmed it? Because
they've
this is what I was getting at.
Yeah, but you can't get it. We can't find it.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
It's one of them tapes that went missing and stayed missing.
So is it an alleged tape?
Cameras, photography... And even Captain Holt, this was the clincher.
So basically, the whole base saw this.
Yeah, second evidence.
Sounds like the end of
the tape recording of Captain Holt.
Right.
Going through the field and talking as this situation was going on.
Right. So he's a first-hand account. And
is that
tape still available?
Yeah, and you can hear it online.
Right.
If you go to the Rendlesham Forest incident. Go
really
down the line,
actually.
And you can hear his speech.
I definitely want to hear his speech.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners. Yeah, but yeah, go and Google it and
it's worth a listen. It was interesting.
And that happened in the UK.
Rendlesham Forest, which was
where is it in
Suffolk.
Suffolk.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's where we're going next week.
No, we can't be going. No,
is it Suffolk or Staffordshire?
I swear it's Chelsea. I got told bleeding Chelsea. Don't say like...
Chelsea's near London. We're only going an hour away.
No, Chelsea.
You mean Chester?
Cheshire. That's what I meant, yeah. I've been saying Chelsea.
I had no idea.
Because someone was on about a Chelsea flower shop. Sure. Saying, I was going there. It's like, no.
Well, have you ever... Go on.
There's still lots more on this because it ended up that they were doing... trying to bring back the memories, so they were doing hypnotism.
They do find a lot more out when they send people under.
Well, they found out John, basically, Jim was very interesting, but John, they found out when he fell back, he'd been picked up by
a light. Right, so he didn't actually hit the ground, was it like...
No, he did hit the ground. It weren't like fire in the sky.
Oh, like he'd been caught in midair.
No, he fell back. That was it. He just fell back, and then this light supposedly picked him up and put him into this room, and there's like 9 or 10 bloody lights going around, and then they show him something, and then he goes,
right,
comes back. But then the second time that he got picked up, he got picked up, put in into the ship, and there was lights again, but then they showed him like a heart of something.
So did he actually meet any, did he see any aliens? Did
only
he,
these lights.
So was, so basically it was like a was, do you think that might have been like a masking, sort of like to conceal their identity, or do you reckon that that might have been,
well,
like their physical presence, to, like beyond a beyond a body?
Well, this comes back to the alien to be known as an agent. Because
right.
There's also loads of reports of the Deep South, the Cabal, or you could call them the New World Order, the secret group had set a course.
You mean the Illuminati?
Yeah. Well, that's a farmer. Had set a course of picking certain people, because I forget, presidents and that had seen UFOs and stuff. Reports, at least 4 reports.
They do, right, I don't buy that all presidents and prime ministers and that don't get privy to that information. But if you think about it, if there is this sort of cabal, right?
Why, which is known as CIA.
Right, do you know, if you, right, this is what I always think about, like, politics.
Yeah.
Do you, have you ever seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Right? Zaphod Beetlebrox, right, is the president of the universe,
yeah,
right? And how they explain his character, because he's got no business being the president of the universe. He's a party guy,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's flash. He's all, hey, he's all pizzazz, right?
Yeah.
And while everyone's looking at what a moron he's being,
yeah,
the people in the background are doing the things, yeah, right, and pulling the strings,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
And that's how I kind of see all of politics, right? If you want to look at it like how politics is today,
you can't look at it that way,
though. I know, but
you got to look at that there are good people in there,
obviously. But we've talked about this, about how, like, you know, you expect like people to want to do it for the job. But we're totally getting off topic anyway.
So. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's carry on this, yeah. Right, so they've done the hypnotising.
A lot of sidetracking tonight, but
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah. So, yeah, so he's supposedly seen some kind of heart or something. So then they've let him go. But there was a question that was answered to him.
Right, so they asked him...
He said, "You are. We are you."
Yeah, oh,
yeah, this is one that I didn't realise beforehand.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Wait, this is Battlestar Galactica. So they've come back. Right, there's a theory about, like, aliens and...
time travelling.
Yeah,
yeah,
they are us from the future. Just having a popping in.
Or well, actually stopping something from...
Yeah, maybe.
Making, like, their future worse, because they don't
like
look
the Terminator.
This. Yeah, well, yeah. Some
yeah,
kind of thing like that. But it is one of them observations that stuff could state that, yeah, that could, it's in the realms of possible. Let's
totally
just say that.
Yeah, well, that, do you know what, right? If you, like, look at the Drake equation, and they say,
yeah,
like, how much life is, you know...
They've tried remaking
potentially
that
here. Yeah, no, not here, but in the universe and potential planets that have extraterrestrial life.
Yeah.
So... but if you think about it, there's more chance of us being the aliens that we're encountering, because we're already here. All we've got to do is master time travel, and we've cracked it.
Well, that's if we haven't already done it.
Well, you don't know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, is it going to come to a point where it's commercially available, where the average man can dive in a time machine? No. So that's why where encounters are so limited. Because it's not like you're going to just pop back in time and be noticed and seen. If you were seen at all, you were on a mission, doing a job in the past, or collecting a piece of equipment, or doing something.
Yeah.
So potentially all these encounters are... And I reckon there might even be more chance of it, to be fair. If you want to do an equation on there, listeners...
I don't...
You can get back to me with the maths.
I mean, I don't, to be honest, because, like, I reckon time travel is a possibility.
Right, well, it's a theory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like everything, it's all theory until it's proven.
Well,
so.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's connected. Well, it was like a couple of years ago, they were connecting stuff together, like the way the universe is expanding string theory.
Yeah.
That there was a possibility that one of the connections were working. It was actually, it was true what they was talking about.
Well, is that what you, like what they say when it, all the...
Dark matter and stuff like this, dark energy, which is slightly different.
Yeah, no, they say all the natural laws have to balance with each other, don't they?
Yeah.
So if one's out, then it's not a legitimate theory. So string theory has to balance with gravity,
time travel,
all of those other natural laws.
Yeah, basically,
right?
It's like sound waves.
Otherwise, it's not a, it doesn't fit. It doesn't. It's not eligible to be a real thing.
Yeah,
I think that's how I understand it as physics.
Well, basically, they're like little strings.
Oh no!
Different size, different kind of.
I know what I'm saying is that I know what you're saying about string theory there. But like in terms of any sort of new law that comes in, if a physicist, I wanted to kind of, I've come up with, say, I don't
10
know,
billion or one to
if I come up with coffee theory, I've come up with coffee theory, yeah. And I need to make it fit with all the other natural laws.
Well, that's what science does, it tries and fix it together. Some theories work, some things don't.
Actually, some of these theories still don't fit, but...
Well, if you think about it, you're doing it your own way, you're working it so it works to your advantage.
Yeah.
Because it could go off in several different ways.
Yeah.
But well, we've only collected on one. Oh, we've got this little bit. Right, we've got another bit that could work on this and another bit that could work and it connects. So that's the way, well, I think. Well, anyway, back on Rendition Forest. Right, so we've done John.
Right, okay.
Right? No, Jimmy's even better.
So Jim's still, is this...
Sergeant Jim.
So yeah. Sergeant Jim, he's not yet to go under. So he's touched the thing.
Yeah.
Is he the one who's seen the ones and zeros?
Now, this is it. When he went on and he couldn't sleep, he wrote him in the book and left and put him in his uniform and stuff in the attic.
Oh,
and left
right,
him.
Okay. So,
left it for years. So he didn't even realise what it
so
was.
So was it like a scrapbook journal or something?
Yeah,
he's
just basically his notebook. Yeah.
Everything he starts thinking, he's thought, I'm going to write this down.
He's just writing ones and zeros, that's it. That's
really?
All that was it. That was all.
Bleeding hell, I bet his family thought he was a bit lost.
Well, he thought he was a bit looking, but he'd had medical problems because of his heart and stuff like that, because of the amount of radiation that they had.
Oh, it's interesting that, like, he's had heart problems, and did you say that when he saw the ship, he saw a heart?
Well, yeah, John did, Jim didn't, because Jim didn't actually go into the ship.
Right.
He only touched it. John was the only one that went in twice.
Okay.
And it was like, and that's basically what he was seeing. But Jim, yeah, he wrote this in the book. Now, he'd been under hypnosis, and he kept going back. And they could only get to a certain point. They couldn't get any further. They worked on it for ages.
So there was like a mental block.
Yeah,
like,
there was a massive block.
Well, they say that in trauma, that's why they have to dive deep in hypnotherapy, because, like, you know, they have to kind of regress them to a point where they're very subjective, but like able to answer questions. But it's like, I think in certain trauma cases, like, they just don't want to remember. It's like, so they find it very difficult to even get that.
Well, yeah, it's true, but they finally got through it, and that's where, like, he'd seen all the shit in the ship, all the stuff.
So he's ended up describing what he saw.
Yeah, but Jim didn't realise that when he went to the OSI, which he was sat in front of another officer, and he was told to, you know, debrief, write down what he'd seen, everything like that. So he did that. 11 pages, something like that.
Was it like a non-disclosure agreement sort of thing?
Well, he hasn't signed anything yet, so they've taken it away. About 10 minutes later, another officer walks in, puts a one-piece sheet down with about 50 lines, and said, sign it.
Oh,
so he signed
John.
He had to sign it.
Get your solicitor out first, bro.
That's why he so he was sort of non-disclosure.
Yeah.
But Then he didn't realise when he was going in hypnosis again that they tortured him.
Oh, right. So
they actually tortured him. They actually injected him.
Who the military?
Yeah, the OSI.
Really?
Yeah, the OSI. Yeah.
So what they injected him with, like truth
which
serum?
I believe is now known as the CIA. Let me just say.
What, so the OSI are not an English organisation?
No, they're American.
They're American.
Yeah, because all the reports on that, because they walked in the day after, they walked in, took, Ed said, we just want to have a look at the reports and we'll bring them back. Took all the reports and they went missing.
Right,
everything
okay.
went missing. Well, but this guy was tortured. He didn't realise.
Are you sure where they were connected? Or when,
yes.
Because I'm pretty sure the CIA were around a lot before, before the 80s.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, because the CIA was called something else beforehand.
They were probably like some sort
of
offshoot
or
something like that.
The
OSI, that sounds military.
Yeah.
Intelligence, something or
other. But it was in the 80s, it was definitely the OSI. But then again, it could have been a branch off from the CIA. Could have been the old branch. Keep it. It used to be the SAS, wasn't it?
Let's just say the CIA were involved in a lot of funky shit, let's say that.
Yeah, cabal.
So, well,
they
not only that.
Just lost a shitload of money as well.
I mean, the MK Ultra, the acid tests.
Yeah.
All sorts of crazy.
Trading
electric,
people.
Basically, cocaine, smuggling. Yeah. CIA have got a lot to answer for, and you know what, JFK to some extent, I think there's a lot of theories on CIA having involvement in the JFK murder.
Ooh, yeah, I think it was them in the mob. It was them in the mob or them in the New World Order. He was already trying to war. And 10 days before he got assassinated, he actually writ a letter to the CIA, I think it was the CIA or the NSA, to tell them, I want every single goddamn report on UFOs that you've got and all the information. That was 10 days before, so there was a lot of people.
Well, there's a lot of theories to why, but we'll save that for another day because, honestly, I've got a number of theories on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's been regressed. He's found
these binary numbers. So he needs to go and find out what it means. So he's gone and seen.
Yeah, because it can be kind of translated, I suppose.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah, he did.
And what did it come back as?
It come back as Exploratory of Humanity. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're joking, man.
No, for Planetary Advance.
Right,
and then
okay.
give coordinates. And all these quit to 7 places.
On Earth?
On Earth.
Right.
Yeah, right. Sandoway in Arizona.
Right.
Place there. You've got...
Belize,
yeah. Central America. Then you've got the Nazca lines.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
in
that's
Peru.
Another one, yeah.
Right, the Nazca lines are really interesting because, like, the kind of salted Earth, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
But the
do you know there's some new ones been made?
Well, I've seen them, yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck?
I mean, they're crazy enough as it is, but I mean, today by modern technology, it'd be quite easy to make them now. But when they date these Nazca lines, they're like centuries, millennia old, and nobody knows. They couldn't have done them. Because he didn't have aerial. If you ever watch Neil Buchanan's Art Attack, he always did an aerial photography shot while he was doing this massive art piece.
Yeah,
so you could see what he was doing. I mean, and I always wondered, wow, how does Neil see what he's doing? Because
he
must have a monitor or something, but you know.
Yeah, he must.
Obviously.
Have. Yeah, he must have a couple of monitors around going like, yeah, that looks right, that. Well, the other places were Greece.
Right.
I would have thought that anyway.
Yeah.
Egypt
standard.
Yeah. North China, which was a surprise. Northern China.
Well, they've got all the... They've pretty much got everywhere covered, haven't they?
Yeah, including the pyramids.
Yeah.
The other pyramids out there that you can't go to.
What, in China?
Yeah. They're under a mound and they're guarded now. No one's allowed near it because they were going to dig it up. And they were like, nope, staying away.
Why? What have they got against pyramids?
Obviously there's something wrong there.
Oh, right.
Obviously,
fair enough.
It must be. And High Brazil, which is off the coast of Ireland, which used to be an island there, which sank. But it comes up every 7 years. At a certain time, comes up, you can see the peak of it, and then it'll go back down.
Mm, right,
and
okay.
It's like, well, hold on. that tells me there's something else going on there. If you think about it, why is it rising and going under? If it's going to be the magma underneath, then it would have kept it going up.
Yeah, totally.
Why would it go down? You know what I mean? There's a bit of... unless we've got a proper deep fucking canyon down there somewhere.
Well, to be fair, the Earth's got, like, loads of mysteries that we haven't even kind of uncovered. I think, you know, how the Earth has been over the years and you know, it's changed so much. It's like we were saying about Doggerland before, about, like, you know, I was talking to someone and they were saying about how, like, you know, imagine being able to walk up to the White Cliffs of Dover from land, looking out over all these plains.
It would be the same, though, would
no,
it?
No, but there'd be a lot more like cave systems more to explore you'd be able to approach the White Cliffs of Dover from land level and potentially find out who knows what's locked in there, do you know?
Well,
it could
that's
be
right.
All sorts.
Could be. You're right. You're possibly right.
So there's all these sites, and it's basically this is crazy. So this binary code's been translated to this. So there
pinpoint sites there is.
So have there ever been any sort like encounters in these sites? I mean, obviously Egypt and Greece is a big vast place.
I think there's possibility that there's the talking basically that it's magnetic. It's kind of like doorways.
Oh, like interdimensional portals.
Yeah, basically, they're talking, and actually at these points, there is a north side, there is a like kind of problem with poles around there,
right,
around
okay.
these areas. But yeah, it's...
like anomalies in the... I get you.
Yeah, there's... Like, nothing's working right. You can't have radios or, you know, you can't... No electrics working and shit like that. So
there's, like, glitches in electronics and...
Yeah, which says that
just
something
funky stuff going on.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And you know what? This comes back to Project Blue Book because there was another incident there in 1956.
Okay.
Roughly around about the same time.
So this actually happened. This is the first incident then in 1956.
1956 was the first incident. Yeah, it was reported over 3 days. There was no radar, and basically just like you know, like at the first bit, apart from soldiers going.
So this was more of a sighting than an encounter, because it seems
John and James had
a genuine encounter there, really, didn't they?
Yeah, but with this Rendlesham Forest incident, would you say that's connected to Roswell? Well, no aliens, no shit. Evidence from us. No evidence from...
Do you think it could be like a black budget type thing? Like tactics? Trying to kind of create media hype?
No, because there was another guy,
Well, the thing about Roswell, it was kind of reported in the news the next day, wasn't it? And then they retracted it. Same with the LA attack
thing.
He was in the paper. Battle of Los Angeles. He's seen loads of people seeing these lights.
Yeah,
it was reported in the paper the next day. 15,000. They basically
five people died.
Ridiculous. And then the next day they said it was nothing.
Yeah, they. Well, they still can't explain it to this day. You could actually see it on the paper. On reading that paper, you could see stuff bouncing off.
So there was actually ricochet. Is there any evidence, like any video of anything of that?
I didn't pay for the picture.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And you had like thousands of people there going, fuck it out.
Well, I've got a UFO instance of the Project Blue Book.
Oh, right.
Here as well. This is the case of Lonnie Zamora.
Oh, yes.
Do you know about this?
This is an interesting case. Yeah.
Right, well, Lonnie Zamora, he was born 1933. And he died in 2009, and he never once changed his story.
Yeah,
he's always been constant. He's always he's never changed it. Now this guy was a police officer. Yeah, he was an high-ranking police officer, right? Again, it seems like it's these type of people who are, you know, they've got no reason to lie.
Well, yeah,
you know, they're respected in the community.
Yeah,
like. they know, people know these, they go, oh yeah, the, Lonnie, yeah, Lonnie's yeah, not crazy, yeah. Or you know, like, Lonnie's the guy, man, they know Lonnie.
Yeah.
Well, Lonnie one night, he was on a high speed pursuit.
Sure, I went on some kind of other speed.
Well, no, he was actually, he was in pursuit of, I think it was a motorway violation or something like that, but yeah, they tried to evade him. This is a genuine, just normal everyday, he's trying to pull this guy over and he's speeding on through the desert, yeah, right? So this is in a Socorro, just outside of the, just in the New Mexico desert. He gets a call coming from the base, yeah, the depot or whatever, yeah. So the report was that there was a noise and a bright light in the sky. So Lonnie, he thinks this is
the same guys.
No, he thinks there's an explosion happened in the air. He basically, from what the report said, there was a bright light and a loud bang.
Right.
Right. So
explosion.
He's thinking there's, yeah, an explosion.
Airplane,
right,
down.
Something's happened. Right. So Lonnie's, he's abandoned the chase and he's in a vehicle, obviously. So he kind of like veers off the road and over like rough terrain.
Yeah.
He kind of goes in the direction of where this light's happened, right?
Yeah.
So he gets roughly about, I don't know, about 300 yards away.
Yeah.
Right? And he sees what he thinks is an overturned car.
Right.
Right? So, like, he thinks, like I say, there's been a car accident or something.
Yeah.
So the car's... So he's basically, as he's getting closer, he sees these two guys or two figures stood, yeah, next to this object, right?
How big?
Well, like I say, he thinks it's a car shape, a car size.
On
so
its back.
On its back. Yeah. So I'm assuming, you know, roughly the size of what? A hatchback? I don't know. A Vauxhall Astra.
Oh, yeah.
But he said it's like an oval object. As he's getting closer, he can see it a bit more and it's getting the definition. And he can see it's this oval object.
Yeah.
Like in whitey sort of metallic. Right?
Oh, right.
With these two guys or two figures in white overalls. Now these
painter and decorators.
Yeah, basically.
Mostly painter and decorators.
If you think about how a painter and decorator wear what they wear, it was just like that, right? So he didn't see the features or anything like that. So it was hard for him to say if they were kind of alien-esque or not.
Yeah.
But this ship was. Well, it sounds flimsy to me, from the description. You know.
Yeah, but there's evidence.
Well, there is evidence. You're right. So basically, he's got closer, he said basically all he heard was like a thud, like a car door closing.
Yeah.
Right? So he's got quite close to the thing now. He's exited his vehicle. He's walked, started approaching it, and all he can describe it as is an oval-shaped craft.
Yeah.
Right? With three legs on the craft.
Yeah.
As, very similar to what you were describing,
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
With a symbol, yeah, on the side of it, right? Now, he didn't touch it, but he was able to record it and basically remembered the symbol. It kind of looks like an A with a line down the middle and a line underneath it. It's kind of like...
Right, okay.
It's just kind of line...
Line-based.
Line-based sort of emblem. Yeah. So...
Well, that was... Funny enough.
Because that's kind of similar to the last story.
Yeah, because on that, it's basically a circle with a triangle within it.
Yeah.
At the bottom, and then another line going through.
So, you know, he's able to recall that, but as, like I say, he's heard this, like, slam of a door, so the beings were nowhere to be seen, so they've obviously got back into their craft.
Yeah.
And, you know, started it up.
Yeah.
So Lonnie, he's... hears this roaring sound. This is Lonnie's account. He's heard this roaring sound and leapt out of the way,
yeah,
ducking behind his car.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to ram
him. He thought it was going to explode.
Right.
That's what he said. He thought this is going to go up. He's never heard anything like it. So remember, this was in 1964.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, technology back then, this was like nothing he'd ever seen before. Not even in the movies at this point, you know.
Yeah.
So he's dived behind his vehicle, and as he kind of looked back up,
yeah,
he noticed it rush up into the sky. It's gone. Right.
See.
So. So when it comes to the the Project Blue Book stuff, was that he kind of like he went home and reported it.
Don't forget them times.
Well, he reported it to his kind of superior, and then it, like you say, it gets passed up the chain of command and yeah. stuff like that. But there was all sorts of reports coming in that day.
Yeah,
about
an object
in the sky.
Yeah.
There was, what was it? There was actually one incident where somebody had rang in to report a UFO being chased by a police car.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
That's Arlani.
Oh, he chased it.
Well, he was heading towards it, wasn't he? So
anyone
witnessing might have seen, you know, a UFO going down and a cop car after it.
Yeah.
So the reports come in as cop in hot pursuit of UFO.
Yeah.
So Lonnie, that was Lonnie. But over the coming weeks, basically a lot of different people came in to have a look at the site.
Yeah.
And this is where Lonnie's testimony comes in very, very strong, because there was scorch marks on the ground where Lonnie said there was where he said the craft landed.
Yeah.
There was two sets of footprints. Right. Localized to that area. That means like basically there was no tracks off in any direction apart from where they landed. It was the middle of the desert, so these tracks weren't going anywhere. The grass and vegetation around the site were scorched and burnt.
Yeah.
Now again, this is desert plant life, so you're talking like cacti, aloe vera, really quite, you know. Moist, they were wet plants, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when these scientists and researchers and people went in and they tried to replicate it, they found it very difficult to even ignite these plants.
It's such heat.
Exactly.
It's radiation, isn't it?
Going off that, basically they found crystalline glass. Which is what happens when, like, you expose sand to really extreme heat.
Yeah, yeah.
It basically turns into a glass.
Something like that.
The site wasn't radioactive. That was one of the only things, you know, they link radioactivity to kind of UFO sightings and stuff like that. But nothing was picked up on radar. So again, radar didn't do anything, and also they tested the soil, it came back negative on any sort of radioactive.
I say you're hooked on
the skunk works tonight.
They're into more than that. They're one of the teams that was sent down to the Antarctic years ago in like the 50s when there was agreements that you could not send an army to either the North or South Pole.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You had like all them kind of agreements, and they were like one of the first big companies that was sent over there, and ever since it was over there was nothing coming out of it. It's real suspicion. I think whoever's going off now has been a part of what they've been looking for.
Right. Okay.
By the way, it does sound like there's definitely something going on down there.
Well, it does sound like a military test to me. That doesn't sound like a craft that could make it out of any sort of atmosphere to me. Like this oval sort of two-seater.
Yeah.
I think if you were going to be flying around from planet to planet, you need something with a bit more space. Yeah. Unless it's kind of like docking to a mothership or something.
No radiation, because you don't need that much power.
It seems a bit flimsy, it sounds like a Red Bull soapbox.
Well, it reminds me of like we're saying about the report in Texas, like that craft landed and went, I'm going to Texas, bang, went off.
Well, Well, basically then, the Project Blue Book arrived on the scene.
Yeah.
And then they investigated the place really thoroughly, and they were there for 4 days, and they never they put down the incident as they documented the incident.
Yeah.
But they never said Zamora's statement was a hoax. They never dismissed it as a hoax.
Yeah.
They've always said his statement was what he believes happened, and.
But
because of his stature in the police force and the fact that there was witnesses, it's never been disproven.
Yeah.
So, but
There's plenty of them now, but the problem is that they've been, most of them, been tucked away or hidden, or like, you know, declassed. You're gonna get
declassified when it's all blacked 100 years, out. And they still take bits out. Yeah.
Well, bits. They take nearly fucking all of it. It's like there is was. In no.
Well, it's quickly. I've just got one more little UFO file.
There's never a little UFO file.
This one's quite a quick one. It was happened in 1949. Three fishermen were chillaxing in a boat on the lake, having a fish.
When
it was in North America somewhere. It was kind of like.
Was it a lake or?
It was a lake. This, like I say, is only a quick story, this one.
Yeah.
Well, they had an encounter while fishing, and they say this UFO flew right over their heads. Now, two of them worked for an aeronautics company.
Right.
They built planes.
Yeah.
And in 1949, you know, they knew what they were capable of, in terms of air flight.
Yeah.
You know, they knew what was possible.
Mechanically, possibly.
For the day, right? And they said they'd never seen anything like it. It moved like nothing they'd ever seen. And Project Blue Book dismissed this case as a hoax and said it was a balloon.
Fucking balloon.
Yeah.
See, even balloons can't move the way that these objects move. You know what I mean?
No, obviously.
It's...
I think, like, the one thing that bothers me is, like, you know, you don't really see much sort of genuine video, up-close video. The video's always quite distant.
Really, you know. The only way you're going to really find it, know yourself that there is or there isn't is by actually seeing it.
Yeah, of course.
But even like then, you
want to
mistaken.
See it for your own... It's like, right, here's an instance, right? By a friend of mine's mum used to say about the rapture... Yeah.
Right.
And how Jesus was going to come riding on his horse.
Oh, how many times is he supposed to have been here?
On the rapture when it happens. Like, but she genuinely believed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm that type of person, like, where if that happens, then I will eat my hat.
Yeah.
But once I've seen it, then...
You've got to eat your hat.
But prove me wrong.
Well, every day everyone changes because of what they've learned.
Obviously, yeah.
That they've been told bullshit there.
I think a lot of the time
it's
misinformation. Yeah, so
and there is a lot of disinformation. There is. That's it. That's the first tactic that they've had since Majestic 12.
What's the
MJ? You don't. MJ 12. They would do like New World Order's 12 people. And it's like they were behind a lot of this shit. This is the start of this shit, basically. Powerful people, but like Ronald Reagan and that, like, you know, try to interrupt them, but the Star Wars and stuff, but they're the ones, I suppose, like the New World Order is a part of that group, but they issue and dealt with UFOs.
Yeah.
And they're still part of it today. It's just a case that you don't hear a lot about them, though. But back in the day, you heard it all. I was hearing it all the time.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
And it was always connected to Roswell, always connected
Well,
in
to Roswell. The 90s, there was like a bit of a resurgence in the boom of UFOs with crop circles and stuff like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, and then obviously you had hits like X-Files that kind of brought it back to the forefront of like popular culture.
I remember September
Independence Day came out. You know, you had all these Armageddon-y type movies.
Well, you had one month a year that where they'd do it.
We were approaching the millennium as well, weren't we? So it was like
it was a springboard for the future.
So basically, there's your UFO. Files for this
first files.
The first files. So
loads more. There's loads, and even in the stuff that we're going to be talking about in future, like Dante and stuff like that. It adds all together. Or Fire in the Sky. We'll bring that one in as well.
Well, there's plenty of instances, and like I say, the Blue Book is never closed.
Yeah.
And we'll always be dipping in there for a bit of a
Unacknowledgeable. It's a brilliant film if you won't get started on it, because he, Dr. Stephen Greer.
Yeah.
He brought it out, last year. But he's, when I saw it, I thought he was for the start-up people.
So kind of like an introduction to kind of like...
yeah, because he had that many people from big fucking, you know, big places like president, like, well, not prime ministers, I suppose, but, you know, second commanders, stuff like that. Big people who come forward and went, you know what, this is it, this is what happened, and things are interconnected, but you're also getting a lot of bullshit as well, disinformation.
Yeah.
Which is, it can be frustrating sometimes, because you're trying to find something, and then it's like, that connects, but then you find out, actually, none of that's fucking true.
Yeah, well, just don't go off the first thing you see.
Yeah. Look at different angles of it and all and stuff like that.
So, yeah, so I think that went well. There's quite a good few stories there. Lonnie, mate. Lonnie was quality. I think like the Hot Pursuit of a UFO, mate. He should have really ran down there and cuffed them guys. He wasn't very quick on his feet, was he? I suppose he was on like rocky deserty stuff, but.
But then again, would you want to be under that when it takes off?
Well, I suppose he thought it was a bit kind of. Well, yeah. Don't want to put yourself in danger if you've never seen it before.
Well, yeah, well, that'd be it, won't it? Be like a case of step closer.
I can't remember if I mentioned this before, Well, did I tell everyone about Wesley Snipes coming back as Blade?
No.
Oh, my God. You know what, right? I've been saying this for absolutely years, yeah.
Doesn't matter, mate, to be honest.
Nah, but I think Wesley Snipes is Blade.
Well, yeah, but he's Blade anyway. Well, so, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah, totally,
right, he's coming back. He needs a bit of money because the tax man's fucking hammered him.
That's what it was. Well,
Why do you think he was on the...
Well, I was going to say, because Disney, but it's Marvel now, isn't it? And, like, Blade's a Marvel property.
Yeah.
So, is Blade coming into the MCU? They're bringing vampires back into the MCU. True. So, like, you could potentially... they're bringing the whole roster, mate. They've got every... If they can make Guardians of the Galaxy was, like, a Z-list comic, and they made it, like, an A-list movie.
So, it's definitely.
Like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, talking about that, it looks like there's not going to be another one.
Why not?
Because the director resigned over summer, and
don't be like
actors,
that.
No, the actors have turned around and said we want him back. We won't film with anyone else.
Right, yeah, fair
and
news.
And there's bickering between.
The thing is,
he said he definitely ain't.
The thing is, Disney have got enough money to buy and absolutely fuck up Star Wars.
Well,
they've already done it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, if they've got the money to do that for fun, then they're not asked about one Guardians movie,
ruining,
are they?
They're ruining our fucking idea of, like, how our childhood was.
Yeah.
I mean, some things you don't want to go back and watch, because when you see it, it's like, that is shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What the fuck were I watching there? But, you know, other things that reminisce, don't it?
Well, I kind of like Blade, so I'm hoping...
Yeah,
I'm
like
he's,
Blade,
he signed up for two Blade projects, so we'll see what's going on.
Well, but, two?
Yeah.
Oh, right, brilliant.
But with Marvel, so yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I thought I mentioned this in the entertainment bit earlier, but I was kind of thinking, have I mentioned that? That is worth... And anyway, it's worth mentioning twice.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, just wanted to say a few little bits and pieces. 100 and some or other Twitter followers at the moment.
Amen.
Love that.
Amen.
And then I'm loving the Twitter community out there. Yeah. Right, we've had a lot of support over the Twitter. I just want to give a shout out to Two Girls on a Bench. They're a podcast about writing, and they're pretty funny, actually. Yeah, they're just like chit-chatting and eating snacks and they've got a really cool intro as to their podcast. They do it with a gazoo.
It's a gazoo? Great.
Yeah, do you know one of those like...
Yeah.
Burp, burp, burp.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I'll watch that.
We've got shout-outs for our kid, our Gav. Also, Swoosh.
Anyone else? Dave supporter.
Big supporter at the moment, buzzing off Swoosh's support.
So, Brocco as well.
Yeah, Swoosh actually gave... Oh, yeah, good on Brocco as well. Yeah, nice one for listening.
Yeah, keep listening, lads.
What was it? We got...
See you later.
We've got, actually, what was I going to say then? Swoosh, I put a poll up on Twitter, right, about Twitter. I keep having Twitter problems. What was it a couple of weeks ago? The my date of birth thing, and they closed the Twitter page down. Now this week, I was doing a poll for a potential, a definite upcoming episode. I think it's the next episode.
I'm not sure. And I found something decent.
Loving this. Anyway, it's I'm not going to say which one, but cults. I'm a total one.
We've all said that.
I'm a tinfoil hat wearer, I'm not a cult.
You're not a cult member yet.
Well, this is the thing. Put a poll up asking Twitter people, would you join a cult?
What are the benefits?
Well, no, it's not about the benefits, there's never good benefits for being in a cult. Basically,
the only benefit is
put up on the poll, trying to get a bit of data for this podcast coming up, right? Yeah. Would you be in a cult? Choice A was drink the Kool-Aid, if you know what that means. Choice 2, Hail Bop.
Hail Bop?
Yeah? No. Do you get that reference?
Yeah.
No? And the third one was not a chance, run off.
Run to the hills.
Right. Well, there was a good kind of toss up between all three. To be fair, there was a lot of kind.
That
I was,
sounds wrong.
It, I mean, it was quite interesting. But I woke up this morning. Twitter had took it off. Advocation of suicide.
Well, they've just got rid of Alex Jones yesterday off Twitter now. That's it, he's off there now, and they reckon they're banning him for that.
I'm not at the level of Alex Jones that I feel like I'm being that censored, but I did feel like I'd been censored a little bit.
Yeah,
I felt, whoa.
Yeah,
honestly thought it was such a vague reference that not many people would get it.
Now,
yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, you got
to be... Well, I wasn't getting anything.
I got a shout-out. Edge of Wonder.
Edge of Wonder.
I've just come across a couple of guys who used to be in the background, you know, film industries and stuff like that. Television.
So like extras.
Yeah. They were actually, you know, like producers or like.
Oh right. Okay.
That kind of stuff. And they've come up with some. But if you've ever heard about the Q movement, which is.
Are they a podcast or a YouTube channel? YouTube
channel, sorry.
Oh, right, okay. So I assume if they've been working in the industry, they've got really good videos.
Oh, yeah, and the information that they're bringing out at the moment, it's like, it's just mind-blowing.
And what are they called? Edge of Wonder?
Edge of Wonder, yeah.
Right.
Give a shout out to them, man.
And check it out on YouTube.
Yeah. They're good.
I'll be subscribing later. Yeah. And speaking of subscribing... I hope you're subscribing to us. Never a straight answer. You can subscribe if you want. Yeah.
No, but subscribe. Yeah. We're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, man. Oh, Chris Butties in a bag, which is an invention. That's not.
You're bringing that, are you?
I want it. Right.
Oh.
So, you've got. If you want to get in touch and you want to chat about anything you hear on the podcast here with me and Taylor, you can email us at neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. That's neverstraightanswer. No A in there on that one. Just in case you're kind of putting the A in. I just like to keep throwing people off. If you're a true fan, you'll find us. And then you've got, you can tweet us or DM us at Twitter at NASA_never. Or you can get in touch with us over the Anchor app. as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can send us a voicemail or a text message over there.
Yeah.
You can find us on all the usual platforms, that's Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, Breaker, Outcast, Google Podcasts, all the major ones. You can find me at Gaz Duncan on Instagram, Twitter, all those type of things, and you can find Lee probably sat on the sofa. playing a bit of Xbox,
eating
a crisp butter, but not in a bag on a plate. So that's this week's episode. It's gone on quite a bit longer, but we give you value for money, and considering we do everything
for free,
that's total value for money. I think you'll find that.
Yeah.
Might have to start up a Patreon or something.
If it ever gets
to the point where this is my day job. Then I might have to do that.
Well, yeah. It's the start up, and it's something that
I could make this my day job, right, then I literally podcast all day.
All day? Well, you have got the mouth for it.
I'd talk to you all day.
More to mouth, man.
Love you. So, yeah, well, that's everything. So, I hope everyone enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
And like I say, if you've got any comments or anything, just get in touch with us. And we'll join you for the next thrilling episode of Never a Straight Answer. And I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
All right, take care, guys. Peace out.
Yeah.